Hello, this is Brian Tracy, and thank you for listening to this program. I want you to stick around at the end of this program because I'm going to make you an offer that you can't refuse. I'm going to make you an offer, especially if you're a business owner or you're thinking of starting a business that could be worth thousands, even tens of thousands of dollars to you, and it's completely free. No charge. It's no cost, no obligation, completely free. So stick around and let me explain it to you when we get to the end of this program. All right, let's begin. Hello, this is Brian Tracy, and thank you very much for being on this teleseminar. We are living in one of the most turbulent times in all of human history, as you know. The economy is uncertain and unpredictable, and the speed of change is accelerating, and it's going faster and faster every day. It's never going to slow down. Some years ago, one of the best-selling books was called Future Shock. In the 60s and 70s, it talked about the speed of change. Today, the speed of change is 10, 20 times faster, and people are still in a state of future shock. This is what leads to an awful lot of both personal and social problems. Now, three predictions came out of Harvard University some time ago, and they said, based on the very best of analysis of current trends, the experts predicted that first, there would be more change in the coming year in your field, whatever it is, than ever before. Second, they predicted there will be more competition in your field, and your competition will be fiercer and more aggressive than ever before. And third, there will be more opportunities in your field than ever before, but they will be different from the opportunities of the past. Now later, they added one more prediction. They said that fully 72% of people working today will be out of their current jobs and doing something completely different within 2 years if they do not rapidly adapt to the current rate of change. Interestingly enough, these predictions were made in 1952. They are just as valid today, however, as they were then. Like almost every year, you could have just changed the year and updated them because they're still the same. More change, more competition, more opportunities, and if we don't move quickly, we'll be out of our current jobs. Enormous number of people are losing their jobs because they've actually become obsolete. It's the requirements for skills in the workplace are different from what they're able to do. In America, 20 million jobs are eliminated each year. However, in normal economic times, 22 million new jobs are created. Now, even though these aren't normal times, the newspapers are full of want ads, seeking people to do many thousands of different jobs. People say, well, I can't find a job. Well, Gary Becker, the Nobel Prize-winning economist, said, we don't have an income gap in America, we have a skills gap. The people with the requisite skills are in demand and are working full-time and their phone is ringing. People without the skills, unfortunately, are becoming obsolete. They're being passed by. In fact, a study in Wall Street Journal just a couple of weeks ago said that if you're out of the workplace for more than 6 months, you become less and less desirable as an employee because basically the world is passing you by. Your skills are deteriorating. So it's really an interesting time to be alive. But here's what we find. Many companies are laying off people in one department and hiring people in other departments to do jobs that are more in demand. So every company is not just simply a net layoff. Some companies like Lehman Brothers that went bankrupt with all those billions of dollars, they had ads in the paper recently looking for people who they wanted to pay between $250,000 and $500,000 to do specialized work within divisions of Lehman Brothers that were being wound down or transformed or something else. And they had to advertise in the paper and hire recruiters to find these people. Think about that. Anyway, the key question is this. Are you going to be a master of change or a victim of change? And you really have to decide. Because if you're going to be one, you're not going to be the other. But if you don't deliberately choose to be a master of change, then by default, you become a victim. By taking complete responsibility for yourself and your life and for everything that happens to you, you put yourself into a power position of complete control over your future. Charles Darwin once said, "Survival goes not necessarily to the strongest or most intelligent, but to the one that is most adaptable to change." So your job is to be adaptable to change. And that's really very much an attitude. There are 75-year-old people who are very adaptable to change, and there are 25-year-old people who are very inflexible. Now, there are three enemies to avoid. And in my 25 years of studying the psychology of success and failure, I found that you have to avoid these three enemies at all costs. They sabotage your future and are invariably fatal to success. And number one is the comfort zone. There's a natural tendency for people to get into a comfort zone and then to resist change of any kind. Even if what they're doing is no longer working or getting them the results they want, they insist on doing it continually. I always ask people to keep asking themselves what's working and what's not working. If it's working, you feel happy, you're getting good results. If it's not working, you feel frustrated and you're not getting great results. You know, you've heard Einstein's definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting to get different results. Well, the fact is that many people don't realize that the more you do of what you're doing, the more you'll get of what you've got. So to succeed, you must deliberately force yourself out of your comfort zones in every area and be willing to try completely new and unusual ways of achieving your most important goals. As Jim Rohn said, the only difference between a rut and a grave is the depth. So, number two enemy to avoid is called learned helplessness. Now, this is one of the most destructive of all influences in human psychology, the feeling that there's nothing you can do. Many people feel that they are trapped by the economy or by their external environment. They become passive and give up. They feel helpless. When a person is in the grip of learned helplessness, the most common words they use are, "I can't, I can't, I can't." Now, the fact is that you are not helpless. Even though you have reversals in life and setbacks and problems and debts and all kinds of things, never think of yourself as helpless. You are not a victim. You can do anything you put your mind to. You have unlimited talents, abilities, energy, and opportunities. Now, here's what I teach in my classes. Whenever you feel disappointed, disillusioned, frustrated, overwhelmed by things, say to yourself, "I can do it. I can do it. I can do anything I put my mind to." I've met many successful people. I met a young guy once who, when I say young, he's about 35. He grew up on a farm, poor. When I met him, he was running a $400 million company. His father always told him when he was growing up, he said, "You can do anything you put your mind to. You can do anything you put your mind to." And he said that rang in his head all through his life. He went out, first kid to go to university from the family, got an engineering degree, got into business. He was the president of a $400 million company. And he said, "You know, I never believed there was anything I couldn't do if I put my mind to it." And that's true. And it's true for you as well. Now, the third enemy that you have to avoid in reinventing yourself on a regular basis is the path of least resistance. There's a natural tendency for people to seek the fastest and easiest way to get the things they want immediately without concern for the secondary consequences of their actions. I actually wrote a book on this called Something for Nothing, and I talk about what I call the expediency factor, or the E factor. This natural, lazy desire of the majority of people to get what they want faster lies at the root of most of our problems, both personally and politically, in America and throughout the world today. I call this book Something for Nothing because I say everybody's trying to get something for nothing. And the very fastest way to get elected, if you want to run for office, is promise something for nothing. Promise to give people free money that you'll take away from others. Give them free medical care, give them free education, give them free anything. People love free things. Free is the most popular word in the world. It's also the lowest common denominator of thinking. So you have to resist this natural tendency to find easy ways to get things done. If you're looking for an easy way, you'll have nothing but problems. Now, the opposite of expediency, seeking the easy way, is self-discipline. The opposite of trying to get something for as little as possible, or something for nothing, is honesty and character. In my travels, I've met con men, professional con men. I still meet them, unfortunately. These people move around, and they find marks, and they con them out of a lot of money. They never work, but they always have a lot of money. And they said, the only problem with conning people out of money is you cannot con an honest man. You cannot cheat an honest man. The only way you can con people is you can convince them that they can get something for nothing, or something for much less than they should have to pay. He said, if a person realizes, no, there's no such thing as something for nothing, you just have to keep going, because you can't cheat a person like that. Very important to be honest. Beverly Sills, the opera singer, once said, "There are no shortcuts to anywhere worth going." Isn't that a great line? There are no shortcuts to anywhere worth going. So you must resist and fight against this expediency factor every minute of every day. When you get up in the morning, the expediency factor causes you to want to go back to bed. When you have dinner, the expediency factor causes you to want to have a big dessert. When you feel like exercising, expediency factor causes you to say, well, maybe I'll do it later on in the day, which usually means never. so you have to fight it all the time. You must practice and exert self-discipline on yourself to do what is right but hard and difficult rather than what is fun and easy but which leads to underachievement and failure. There are no shortcuts to any place worth going. These three enemies, the comfort zone, learned helplessness, and the path of least resistance, are absolute guarantees of frustration and failure in life. You must resist them every single day. Now this brings us to a great question. What is the highest paid work in America or in the world? And the answer is thinking. Your ability to think is the critical factor that determines the decisions you make, the actions you take, and the results that you get. Thinking is everything. It's been said that some people think, others think they think, but most people would rather die than think. Thomas Edison said, "Thinking is the hardest work there is, and that's why so few people do it." IBM, for the first 50 years of its existence, had one sign on the wall of every single office in the company worldwide, and it was just the word "think." And whenever they had a problem, challenge, difficulty, they would just point to the sign and all remind each other that the key to solving the problem is just to think. Now, the standard process of thinking for most people is what is called stimulus-response thinking. Stimulus-response thinking says that there is a stimulus. Somebody says something, something happens, and then response. People instantly respond, almost like being prodded with an electric cattle prod. They respond instantly. And the average person merely responds or reacts automatically and unthinkingly. But superior thinking is different. And I want you to imagine a picture. I want you to imagine two circles on the page touching each other. In the first circle on the left, you put the word S for stimulus. In the second circle, you put the word R. So that's how most people think: stimulus, response, automatic, no break. Then you write three circles on the page below, and this is what superior thinking is. In the first circle, you write S for stimulus, and in the second circle, you write T for think, and the third circle has R for response. Now, the top person inserts a period of reflection between the stimulus and the response. They take the time to think before they speak or act. Now, here's the most amazing thing, is what takes place in that moment of thought between the stimulus and response determines your entire life. It determines the thoughts you think, the decisions you make, the actions you take, the results you get. Everything comes down to that moment of thought or reflection before you respond. Now, top people have discovered that it is essential that you slow down and take the time to think carefully in times of problem or crises. The longer the time that you take to think through a situation before you respond, the better decisions you will make and the better results you will get. Good thinking is essential, and wonderfully enough, you can learn to become a great thinker by simply practicing taking time to think before you act. This is absolutely essential to your reinventing yourself in a constructive way on a regular basis. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is, who are you? Who are you really deep down inside? You know, you have 100 billion brain cells. And if there were 50 billion human beings, there could never be two people like you. You are unique and extraordinary in all the history of the world. Your unique thoughts, feelings, decisions, actions, experiences, and so on make you different from anyone who ever lived. So you are really a remarkable person. And if you tried to, you couldn't use your full potential if you had 100 lifetimes. There is so much that you can do that what you are doing today is only a sliver of what's truly possible for you. So we find that one of the most important forms of intelligence, identified at Harvard University, is called intrapersonal intelligence. Now, interpersonal intelligence is how well you get along with others. Intrapersonal intelligence has to do with what's going on inside your head. It's your ability to think carefully about who you are inside and what you really want to accomplish with your life. Now, superior people seem to understand themselves far better than average people. This is because they take the time to think rather than merely reacting and responding to what happens around them. The Delphic Oracle in Greece had a sign over the top, and it said, "Man, know thyself." It constantly reminded people that the key to wisdom is to know yourself. One of my favorite quotes from Socrates is where he said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." And in my experience, I find that television is a terrible enemy of thinking. It's a terrible enemy of happiness and success. And there's a good deal of research that shows that the more television you watch, the less possibilities you have in your life. It lowers your self-esteem and so on. And the primary reason why it's hurtful is that in the old days when there was no television, people would come home and they would think about what happened in the daytime and talk about it and discuss it. And as a result, they would extract all the value and benefit and wisdom out of their experiences. But today what happens, people come home and watch television and stop thinking altogether. The television is kind of like bathing in warm water. It just keeps the mind occupied until it's time to go to sleep. So one of the great secrets of life is to stop watching so much television. So to reinvent yourself on a regular basis, you must take regular timeouts to rethink and reevaluate yourself and your life. Now, the four steps in personal strategic planning are, first of all, to analyze where you are today. And this is a very good exercise. Sit down and just think of where you are today. Second, determine where you want to be sometime in the future. My friend Michael Cammy, the strategic planner, says that those who do not think about the future cannot have one. Third, in personal strategic planning, determine how you got to where you are today, what you did right and what you could have done better. And then finally, fourth, decide exactly what steps you need to take to get from where you are today to where you want to go in the future based on your answers to these questions. So here's some goal questions for you. So there's seven questions to determine who you really are right now inside. Number one, what are your three most important goals in life right now? After this session, write down your answers in 30 seconds or less. When you only have 30 seconds to answer a question like this, your answers can be very revealing and even surprising. I gave this exercise to 500 people 2 days ago, and they're really quite astonished what they come up with. In 30 seconds, bang, 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 the three most important goals in life pop out. And those three most important goals in life tell you three things: where you are today, where you're going in the future, and very often where you're coming from. Because your three most important goals in life are usually the solution to your three biggest problems in life at the same time. Now, number two, what are your three most important qualities or character traits? What parts of your personality are you most proud of? How would you like to be described by others? Remember, it's taken you your entire life to become the kind of person you are. One of the exercises we used to do is we used to say, if you could give instructions to have two words carved on your gravestone, what two words would you want to be put there to describe the way you were or the person you became? So here lies you, you were, and then what would it be? Loyal and honest, trustworthy, independent, hardworking and creative. What two words would you most like? And in this question, what three traits or qualities are you most proud of or would you most like to have sometime in the future? These are very important things to think about because they control and guide consciously and unconsciously your whole life. Third question, what are your three best skills, talents, or abilities? These are specific abilities that you have to accomplish tasks and get results. Interestingly enough is that every person has certain skills, talents, abilities built into them genetically. And you have a natural tendency to develop along those lines. So stand back and look at yourself and say, what are the three things that I am really the best at? What are my very best talents? Because you'll only be truly happy in reinventing yourself when you are using your very best talents to their highest and best use. Number four, what do you really love to do in your work? What would you want to do if you weren't getting paid? If you could only do one part of your work all day long, which part of your work gives you the greatest pleasure and satisfaction? Now you'll find that the highest paid and most successful people organize and reorganize their lives, reinvent their jobs, so they're doing more and more of those few things that they enjoy the most. That's why most successful people say, I've never worked a day in my life. I don't work. I just do what I love to do and get paid for it. And that's your goal in the future. Number five, imagine that you had $20 million in the bank, tax-free, but you only had 10 years left to live. What would you do differently in your life today if you had $20 million in the bank? What would you start doing or stop doing if you only had 10 years left to live? Now, sometime in life, the 10-year question is going to be true. But just imagine $20 million in the bank. You see, the reason most people don't reinvent themselves or step out boldly is because they say, well, I can't afford it. I have too many bills. I have too many financial problems. So the purpose of this question is just to free your mind temporarily and just say, well, if I had no financial limitations, well, this is what I'd really like to do. And whatever it is, it's possible for you. You just say to yourself, hey, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. And then find a way. Number six, what are your three biggest problems, difficulties, or worries in life right now? What are the three things that cause you the most stress? We say proper diagnosis is half the cure. So when you're really clear about what they are, you start to come up with ideas to resolve them. And number seven, and this is the best for reinvention, is what are your three biggest opportunities for the future right now? What are the three biggest possibilities for you to achieve more and more of the goals that are important to you? Don't get bogged down by the way the situation is today or what might have happened in the past. What you do instead is you say, what are the three biggest opportunities around me? And how could I take advantage of those opportunities? Now, the second area of reinvention, I call it, what do you want? After you've decided who you are inside, you can then look around you and decide what it is that you want to be, have, and do in the years ahead. So you begin this process with future orientation. Create an ideal picture of your future. Imagine that you have no limitations of time, money, talent, or ability. Imagine that you could be, do, or have anything that you wanted in the future. What would it be? The most important word here is clarity. You see, the greater clarity you have about where you'd like to be sometime in the future, the more likely it is that you'll start to get ideas and attract people into your life that will help you to achieve it. Imagine that you have a magic wand and you could wave it over the most important parts of your life. What would you want to change? Imagine you could change anything. What would you want to change? What would you want to change first? Create what we call a 5-year fantasy for yourself. Imagine that 5 years have passed and your life is now perfect in every way. What would it look like? Start with your job, your career, your business. If your job and career, your income, was perfect in every way, in terms of size and accomplishment, how much would you be earning in 5 years? What would you be doing? What level would you be? That's a very good question. And then you come back to the present and you say, what steps would I have to take starting today to make that 5-year fantasy a reality? Think about your family life and your personal relationships. If your family life and lifestyle was perfect in 5 years, what would it look like? How would it be different from today? Think about your levels of health and fitness. If you had superb all-around health and fitness sometime in the future, what would it look like? How would it be different from today? What would you have to start doing today to make it a reality, to be the healthiest and fittest person that you could possibly imagine being? Remember, it's attainable because you had that level of health and fitness at one time in your life. All you have to do is repeat the behaviors that made it possible at that time. Think about your financial situation. If your financial life was ideal in every way, sometime in the future, how much would you have in the bank? How much income would you be receiving from other sources? How would your financial situation be different from today? Remember, the key to financial success is, first of all, get out of debt. And if you're in debt today, make that the absolute focal point, laser-burning commitment of your life. Get out of debt. And second of all, is to develop assets that give you income when you're not there. We say that wealth is riches without working. It's money that is coming in when you're asleep. So your job now is to establish a financial fortress so that you have money coming in so you don't have to worry. Get out of debt and build a financial fortress. Now here's the truth. If you don't do it, nobody will do it for you. If you don't do it, it won't happen. I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but you're not going to win the lottery. And there is no long-lost relative who's going to die and leave you a pile of money. So if you want to achieve financial independence, you're going to have to do it yourself. And the most important question with regard to future orientation is what should you do immediately to start making your 5-year fantasy a reality? What I have found is that success begins with the first step. Journey of 1,000 leagues begins with a single step, as Confucius said. But in life, it's the willingness and the courage to take the first step that determines the difference between success and failure. So set clear goals for your life. The next point is to develop a strong sense of goal orientation. This is where you pull your dreams and fantasies out of the air and you crystallize them on paper. The very act of setting clear, specific goals and working on them each day increases your probability of achieving them by 10 times. It increases your return on energy invested by 1,000%. Now, where can you get a higher return on your life or on any investment than 1,000% guaranteed? By working from clear, written, specific goals, you increase your speed of accomplishment by 10 times and sometimes more. This is all based on research, by the way. My favorite goal-setting method is simply for you to make a list of 10 goals that you'd like to accomplish in the next year or so. Take a piece of paper after this session and write down 10 goals. Write each goal down in the present tense as though you had already accomplished it. What I do is I say, I earn X number of dollars by December 31st the next year. I weigh X number of pounds by such and such a date at the end of the month. I achieve this level of sales or income by this specific time. But say it as though it is already a reality. This causes your subconscious mind to go to work 24 hours a day to make your external situation consistent with this new command. Then once you have this list of 10, you look over your list and you ask yourself this question. If I could only achieve one goal on this list, which one goal would have the greatest positive impact on my life? Put a circle around that goal, make a list of everything that you could do to achieve that goal, and then begin work on your list. Now, this is so powerful that it will change your entire life. This enables you to select your major definite purpose. For you to pick the one goal that would have the greatest positive impact on your life, make a list of things you could do to achieve it, and work on that every single day, will change your life forever. It's one of the most powerful of all techniques. The third key to goal achievement is for you to do something every day that moves you toward your most important goal. When you get up in the morning, think about the goal. Throughout the day, think about the goal. In the evening, review your progress on the goal. Your ability to set and achieve business and personal goals is the critical determinant of your success. And fortunately, it is something that you can learn through practice and repetition. Remember, whatever you do repeatedly becomes a habit. When you develop the habit of setting, planning, and working on your goals every single day, it will transform your life and give you complete charge of the reinvention of your future. Next is to develop excellence orientation in your work and personal life. This is something that is never taught in schools because many of the people who teach in schools don't believe in personal excellence. But when you become excellent in your work and your personal life, it transforms your self-esteem, it transforms your status, it transforms the way people think about you, and of course it transforms your results. So resolve to be the best at what you do. Make a decision to join the top 10% in your field, no matter how long you have to work or how long it takes. When I first heard this many years ago, I got kind of discouraged and disappointed because I'd never been good at anything. And then I found the great discovery is everybody who's in the top 10% started in the bottom 10%. Everybody who's doing really well today was once doing poorly. Everyone who is at the top of your field was once at the bottom of your field, was once not even in your field and did not know that your field existed. Here's my point. Nobody's better than you. Nobody's smarter than you. If someone's at the top of their field, it's just because they decided to get there before you did. Now, fortunately, there are only 5 to 7 key result areas in any job. These are the things in each job that you absolutely, positively have to do to get the results that are expected of you. The question is, what are they? Now, people say, what's a key result area? We'll give you an example. In management, there is planning, organizing, staffing, hiring the right people. There's delegating to those people, supervising, measuring their performance, and reporting to others. 7 key result areas. On a scale of 1 to 10, a manager is successful or unsuccessful dependent upon how well he or she is doing in each area. In selling, there's 7 key result areas. Prospecting, finding the right people to talk to. Establishing rapport and trust so that they like you and will deal with you. Identifying their needs accurately. Presenting your product persuasively. Answering their objectives convincingly. Closing the sale, getting them to take action. and then finally getting resales and referrals from those customers. 7 key result areas. Now, what we have found is that your weakest key skill or weakest key result area determines the height of your income and the level of your success. It's your weakest key skill that holds you back more than anything else. This is a revelation. People often work for years trying to get a little bit better here and a little bit better there. What we have found with our students is sometimes you can double and triple your income within 1 year just by going to work on one key skill that's essential to your success that's been holding you back. So here's the question. This is one of the great questions for reinvention. What one skill, if you were absolutely excellent at it, would help you the most to double your income? What one skill, if you were absolutely excellent at it, would help you the most to get promoted faster, to get paid more, to move ahead in your life? Now, whatever your answer to this question, it's almost always something that you're not particularly comfortable with. But the only reason you're not comfortable with it is because you haven't mastered it yet. You haven't learned it yet. As soon as you learn it, it'll be like riding a bicycle. You can get on and do it anytime, anywhere. So the only reason why we're uncomfortable with a skill is because we haven't learned it yet. And all skills are learnable. All business skills are learnable. All money-making skills are learnable. I met people who started off in poverty from poor homes with poor educations, and then they started to focus on a specific skill of money-making. One person I knew got into the idea of buying old houses and fixing them up and renting them out or reselling them. By the time he was finished, he had like 150 houses. I just spoke to him 2 days ago. He's got more than $1 million in the bank and an income of more than $100,000 a month. And he started off with one old house, which he got for a very low down payment. He lived in it while he fixed it up. He then rented it out. With the rent, he was able to mortgage it for a higher rate and buy another house and move in. And he just did this for 10 years. By the time he was finished, he had 150 houses, an entire crew of rental managers, every one of them rented out, and he was living in a very big house. He is living in a very big house today. Is that possible? Of course. Of course. There's so many ways to make money, it's an embarrassment if you're not making all the money that you want. Now, if you don't know the answer to this question, what one skill would help you the most, and you probably do, ask your boss, ask your coworkers, ask your friends, ask your customers. But whatever you do, you absolutely must know the answer to this question if you want to succeed, because it's the one skill that's holding you back. So what one skill can help you the most? And remember, all business skills are learnable. You can learn any skill you need to learn to achieve any business goal you set for yourself. In fact, you could be only one skill away from doubling your income. And you probably know what that skill is. Now, develop an intense result orientation in everything you do. Every single successful person who has been surveyed, all the studies have shown that the number one quality, the highest paid people, is they have the ability to get results. So the key measure of success in any business is your ability to get the results that are expected of you. Everything is results in business. At the end of the day, all people are concerned about is the quality and quantity of results that you are able to achieve for them and for yourself. So you always start off by asking, what results are expected of me? Results have some special characteristics. They are specific, measurable, and time-bounded. A result is clear. A child could tell you if you've achieved it or not because it's so obvious. You can measure it, and it has to be complete on a certain schedule. You must be absolutely clear about the results that are expected, and especially the most important results that are expected of you. So apply the 80-20 rule to everything you do. Remember, 20% of what you do will account for 80% of your results in every area. Discipline yourself to work on the top 20% of your tasks all day long. This is what we teach our graduates. We say that there are only 3 things in your work that account for 90% of the value of what you contribute. Everything else is supportive or secondary. So, identify those 3 things and spend more and more time on the 3 things that contribute the most value and get better at them. And that alone will double your productivity, your performance, your output, and very soon your income. We also teach people that if 20% of your activities are accounting for 80% of your results, then just double the amount of time that you spend in those top 20% and reduce the amount of time you spend in the bottom 80%, and your performance will soar like a skyrocket. You'll be astonished how much you get done if you just double the amount of time each day that you spent on your most valuable tasks. Now, keep asking the question, what can I and only I do that, if done well, will make a real difference? There's only one answer to this question. What can you and only you do in your work that, if done well, will make a real difference? This is the result that you and only you can get. If you don't do it, no one else can or will do it for you. But if you do it, and you do it well, it can make a major difference for you. What is it? By the way, this question, what can I and only I do, applies to all your life, every area, every minute, every hour. When you come home and your spouse is upset, what you and only you can do is to talk to him or her about the situation. If your child is unhappy or hurt or disappointed for some reason, there's one thing that you and only you can do, which is go down and spend time with your child. Not watch television, not play on the computer, but spend time with the most important people in your life. Finally, keep asking, in terms of results orientation, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? All of time management revolves around this single question. What is the most valuable use of your time at every minute of every day? Your ability to determine your most valuable task and to start on that task and to stay with it until it's complete will double and triple your productivity and performance, increase the amount that you are paid and the speed at which you get promoted, and it can change your whole life. Now, there's one more big payoff for intense result orientation. Whenever you start and complete an important task, you get a rush of adrenaline. You get a rush of endorphins. You feel happy. You feel energized. You feel positive. Your self-esteem goes up. Your sense of personal power increases whenever you start and complete a big task, an important task. However, here's the reverse. If you start and complete a low-value task, a no-value task, you get nothing. You get no bang for your buck. It's like drinking Coca-Cola that's been set out for 3 days. It's completely flat and tasteless. And it's like drinking cold, decaffeinated coffee. There's nothing there. But when you do important things, you get a tremendous psychological and emotional bang for your buck. And simultaneously, everyone around you respects you more and more because they know you're the kind of person who gets the most important results. So there's double payoffs for you becoming result-oriented. And this brings us to one of my favorite subjects. And the question is, what are you worth? I'm going to write a book on this next year, by the way, because I just love the subject. So sometimes I ask my audiences, I say, what is your most valuable financial asset? After they've come up with a few answers, like their home, their savings account, their 401k, and so on, I tell them the correct answer. Your most valuable financial asset is your earning ability. It's your ability to get results that people will pay for. Now, this is so important because your earning ability is the most precious thing you have in the whole world, and most people walk past it and don't even think about it. They take it completely for granted. Business Week magazine had an article recently saying that your earning ability, your ability to do work, is worth more than 50% of your total financial capability in life. And, by the way, if you are at break-even or in debt, your earning ability is probably 100% of the most valuable asset you have, because it's the one thing you've got that can continue to yield positive cash flow every time you use it. So here's a question I ask. How many people here are self-employed? When I ask this of an audience, maybe 10 or 15% of people raise their hands, and then I give them the correct answer. The correct answer is everyone. Everyone is self-employed. From the time you take your first job until the time you retire, you always work for yourself, no matter who signs your paycheck. Now, it's interesting. In a study done in New York some years ago, they found the top 3% in every field view themselves as self-employed. Whatever their rank or position is in the company, they see themselves as if they own the whole darn company, and they treat the company like it belongs to them. They say, my company, and us, and our, and my people. They never think of 9-to-5. They think that this is my company, and they take everything that happens in the company personally. The worst mistake you can ever make is to think that you work for anyone else but yourself. You are the president of your own personal services corporation. You're the president of an entrepreneurial company that has one product to sell, your services. And your job is to maximize the sale of your single product. As the president of your own personal services corporation, you're responsible for all of the activities of a business, even though your business has only one employee, yourself. You're responsible for marketing, the most important single function of a business and the key to its success. So there's four principles for reinvention when you see yourself as the president of your own personal sales corporation. In strategic marketing, these are the four principles that apply to you personally in reinventing yourself for the future. Number one is specialization. For you to succeed greatly, you must specialize in a particular area so that you can become one of the very best people in that area. Too many people have the ability to do lots of things, but they do nothing particularly well. They are the last hired and the first fired. The key to specialization is for you to do something that you really enjoy, something where you have the capacity to become very good, and something that pays excellent money when you get to the top. Now, this is so important. You must specialize. So pick something that you enjoy and decide to be absolutely excellent in that area. Now, the second key to marketing for yourself is differentiation. In business, a product must be superior to its competitors in three ways or more. In personal life, you must differentiate as well. You must be absolutely excellent at doing something that is important to people who can and will pay you. In addition, you must have a unique selling proposition. This is something that you do or offer that makes you unique and different from anyone else in your field. What is it? Better yet, what could it be? What should it be if you want to get to the top? This is one of the most important set of questions that you ever ask and answer. Is what is it that you are excellent at? What could you be excellent at? What should you be excellent at? And remember, whatever your answer is, it's a learnable skill. Everybody who can do it today at one time couldn't do it at all. The worst mistake you can ever make is to think that you work for anyone else but yourself. So, number three is segmentation. Where can you most apply your talents and abilities to achieve the very greatest results and rewards? In business, we say, identify your area of specialization and your area of differentiation, and then look around at the marketplace and say, who are the specific customers who would most appreciate what you specialize in and what you do really well, and then concentrate solely on those customers. So, what can you apply your most important talents and abilities to achieve the very greatest results and rewards at? Many people find that their income is capped working in one business or his industry, but when they move and take their special talents with them to another business or industry, they find that they can earn vastly more. Here's an interesting example. Meg Whitman, who is now running for the governor of California, was an investment analyst and worked her way up in an investment company, and they needed somebody with managerial experience, so Pierre Omidyar hired her to become the president of eBay just before it took off. Within a few years, she was one of the most powerful executives in America and a billionaire in her own right, because she took her unique talents and abilities, where she was doing reasonably well, and in a different area, she was able to accomplish extraordinary things and become one of the richest people in the world. Very often, you find yourself using incredible talents and abilities in a place where you can never really be paid very much for it. I've had countless people in my seminar who come back after a year, year and a half, and tell me that after my seminar, they changed jobs and tripled their income. They realized that they could never make the kind of money they wanted doing what they were doing at that place, so they had to go somewhere else where they could make more, and they did, and they did. So, where can you apply your area of specialization and differentiation in the very highest and best place so that you can earn the very most money? If you don't decide this for yourself, no one else can do it for you. In fact, just between you and I, bosses have a vested interest in your not finding this out. Bosses don't want you to figure out that you can earn more applying your talents and skills somewhere else. Nobody's going to help you with this one except yourself. Number four is concentration. Once you've determined your areas of specialization, differentiation, and segmentation, You must then focus and concentrate all your time, attention, and energy in getting the very best results that are expected of you. You must focus all your time and attention on the highest and most valuable use of your time and do only that until it's complete. Remember, task completion is the key to great success. The failure to complete tasks is a guarantor or a guarantee of failure. As the president of your own company, you are totally responsible for your product. This is the quality and quantity of work that you contribute to your organization. The key to success in business is for you to have a great product. The key to success in personal life is for you to be a great product. You want people to think about you and talk about you in the highest terms. You want your company to be proud that they have you working for them because you are so excellent in a particular area. So what is yours? Where are you especially good? As the president of your own personal services corporation, you're totally responsible for quality control. This means that you do an excellent job, and you continually get better and better every day, every week, every month. You read, you listen to audio programs, you attend seminars, and apply new ideas to increase the quality of the work you do and the product that you produce. As the president of your own company, you are completely responsible for finances. You are responsible for planning your finances carefully, earning as much as you possibly can, living within your means, saving 10 to 20% of your income each month, and eventually achieving financial success. You are responsible. This is something that only you can do for yourself, and if you do not deliberately concentrate on it, it will never get done. Now I want to talk about taking charge of your career. In your work life, you can earn a little or you can earn a lot. Which of these do you prefer? The most incredible discovery is that many people who are earning a lot are no more talented or intelligent than people who are earning a little. Sometimes they have less natural talent and ability. Nothing will make you madder than to find somebody who's earning more than you, who is dumber than you. You ever had that experience? It drives you crazy. How could this idiot be making so much money with the same job or in the same area, and he doesn't seem to be that impressive at all? Well, the reason is because he's really focused, or she's really focused, on becoming very good at what people pay the most at. So make a decision that you're going to earn in the top 10% or 20% of your field, and then make a plan to achieve that goal. There's nothing that can stop you except yourself. Now here's a discovery. It's a shocker. Anything less than a commitment to excellence is an acceptance of mediocrity. The default setting on human success is always failure and mediocrity. The only way you can get off the default setting is by dedicating yourself to success and excellence. But if you don't, you fall naturally into the bottom 80%. Now, there are millions of new jobs being created each year, and many of them are completely different from jobs in the past. You must be continually learning and upgrading your skills, studying new technology, reading the best business books, and subscribing to the best business magazines and newspapers. You are in a race, and there are millions of other people who are determined to win, to defeat the competition, including yourself. This is a tough competition, and you can't slow down. Sometimes I say to people, imagine a marathon. Everybody starts off at the same starting line, and the race of life begins, and the people start to move, and gradually the pack starts to thin out. Few people get way ahead. The bulk stay in the middle, and a large number of people fall to the back. So let's say you're running in this marathon, and you decide, well, I don't want to run as hard as this. I want to just kind of coast for a little while. So you slow down. What happens to the rest of the runners? Well, of course, they pass you, and they get way ahead of you, and way, way ahead of you. And if you then decide, well, maybe I should speed up a bit because there's a lot of these people are getting ahead of me, often you'll never catch up at all. And that's the case with most people who are having problems today, is they're just strolling along while everybody else is running. If you decide to run, you'll find that the whole pack is miles ahead of you. So you can never give up running. You've got to keep moving. So according to the best research, we don't have an income gap in America or throughout the world. As I mentioned, we have a skills gap. Some people have skills that are in high demand. The market, like an auction, continually bids them up by paying more and more to people with those skills. Unfortunately, the bottom 80% of people have skills that are in limited demand. And because they're not getting better, they're getting worse. Each month, each year, they become less competent than they were before, and therefore, worth less money. Remember, the ladder of success is never crowded at the top. The crowd is all around the bottom, scratching for the crumbs dropped by people at the top. The bottom 80% of employees experience income increases of about 3% a year, according to the research. Since the cost of living goes up at about 3% per year as well, they never get ahead. They never get out of debt. They always worry about money year after year. But the people in the top 20% experience income increases of 10% to 25% per year. They are never unemployed. They are always in high demand. And the reason is simple. They have skills and abilities that are in high demand, and they continually add to those skills. According to the IRS, the top 1% of money earners earn about 30% of all the money earned in America. The average family income in America is about $42,000. Yet some people who started at the same time with the same education earn millions of dollars per year. Now, why is this? It's because they keep increasing their knowledge and skills and improving in their key result areas. As Pat Riley, the basketball coach, said, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Nobody stays the same in a world of incredible turbulence and competition like today. Now, according to the research that's been done over 25 years, and I began teaching this many years ago, and it includes Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, one of the bestsellers in the New York Times, it takes 5 to 7 years and about 10,000 hours for a person to achieve excellence in any field. By excellence, we mean the top 10%. This applies to heart surgery as well as diesel mechanics. It takes 10,000 hours and 5 to 7 years. Now, please understand this. It doesn't mean that you just go to work for 5 to 7 years or you just put in the time. The average work year in America is 1,600 to 1,900 hours. It doesn't mean that you just go to work and work. It means that you put your head down and you really work hard at becoming excellent. In Jeffrey Colvin's recent book, Talent is Overrated, he points out that the people who get ahead are people who engage in what he calls deliberate practice. Is they select a skill, the one skill that can help them the most at this moment, and then they lay out a study schedule, they take courses if necessary, they read books, they attend lectures, and they practice until they master that skill, like a piece of a mosaic or a piece of a jigsaw puzzle. And then they say, now, what one skill would help me the most to get ahead? And they go to work on the next skill. And like building one brick on top of another as you build a wall, over the course of years, they develop a multiplicity of skills, each one of which helps, supports, and reinforces the other skills. And as a result, they move to the top of their field, and they're paid enormous amounts of money, and the people who are sitting around going drinking after work, reading the newspaper during the day, say, oh, they're just lucky, or it's all politics. No, it's always performance. So the key to great success in life is to get started. Put your head down and work day after day until you climb the ladder of success and reach the top. People who start off at the starting line of life and who get way ahead over the years are people who deliberately practice the skills that they will need to get to the top. Now, the problem with deliberate practice is that it is not fun. It's hard and difficult. It takes many hours that nobody ever sees or appreciates, which is exactly why most people never do it. But the good news is that all business skills are learnable. And the better you get, the better you get. The more you learn, the more you can learn. Just like an athlete who works out physically, he gets fitter and fitter. When you work out mentally, you get smarter and smarter, quicker and quicker, more and more competent. Now, this is a great time to be alive. We have many problems, but the human race has always had problems and has always survived and thrived, and so will we. Basically, today our problems are small compared to the problems of people in the last century or the century before. In fact, the average person struggling today lives better today than a king did 200 years ago. They have more resources at their disposal, better food, better medicine, chance at a longer life, more opportunities to travel faster and easier. We're living very, very well today in comparison with the past and in comparison with 95% of the world's population. this is a sort of glass half full, glass half empty equation. You can decide that the glass is half full, that this is a great world, or that the glass is half empty and there's lots of problems. It's up to you to decide. The good news is you have unlimited potential. As I said, you couldn't use all of your potential if you had 100 lifetimes. And the more of your potential you use, the more of your potential becomes available to you. This is the most remarkable thing. You're surrounded by unlimited opportunities. America is the most entrepreneurial country in the world, according to the OECD in Paris, with more than 500,000 new businesses of all sizes being started each month. Imagine that, each month. We start more new businesses per capita than any other people in the history of the world. Many of them are one-person businesses. Many of them are home-based businesses. But imagine 500,000 businesses per month. Do you know that in America, we have one of the easiest systems in the world for starting a business? You could say right now, I think I'll start a business. And you are now legally in business. You then go on to your internet, pull up LegalZoom, fill out the forms, submit $25, and you now have a registered business in your name or whatever name you pick, and you are off to the races. There are very few countries in the world where you can start a business that fast. And let's say you come up with another idea tomorrow. You think, well, I'll start another business. And so now you have two businesses. And pretty soon you're a serial entrepreneur. Now, you don't have to be a General Motors. You can start off with a very small investment, a very small level of activity, and build out of your profits. Remember, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. All that really matters is where you're going. The key is to focus on the future rather than the past. Focus on the things you can do something about rather than events from the past that you can't change. The simplest way to reinvent yourself is for you to set a goal, make a plan, and work on it every day. Dedicate yourself to lifelong learning, to continually to becoming the better and better at the most important things you can do. And finally, no matter what happens, never give up. Make a decision in advance that you will never, never, never give up, no matter what happens. This seems to be the most favorite success principle for successful people worldwide, is they just never give up. If you do all of these things continually over and over, you'll put yourself and your life into a continuous state of reinvention. You will move yourself to the front of the line, and all kinds of opportunities and possibilities will open up for you. There are no limits except the limits you place on your own mind. Thank you for being on this call. Now, I'd like to give you a free gift as a way of saying thank you for being a loyal supporter of mine and a determined continuous learner. So find out what I've been working on lately and receive your special at www.briantracy.com/learner. That's www.briantracy.com/learner. Just go there right now and see what I've got for you. Thanks again for listening. I look forward to talking to you and maybe even seeing you soon.